And grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day from God, our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to join with me in a word of a prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have called us as servants in your kingdom. Continue, Lord, to pour out upon us your Spirit and your word, that, Lord, that word of life, truth, and grace takes root and grows. And now may these words of this preacher's mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. This is a rather fun reading set before us today. It didn't quite make the cut for the revised lectionary and Lutheran service book. There's a number of directions you could go with this text. You could talk about what not to do as an assistant or associate pastor caring for a prophet. You could also talk about what maybe some stewardship themes would not really work in the parish. These words are challenging because they follow just a fabulous moment in Old Testament history where Naaman, a foreigner, is healed in muddy water because of God's promise with that water. So what are we to do with this text? It kind of reminds me of a pet peeve that a parish pastor, namely yours truly, has. A pet peeve, or maybe more accurately, a burr under the saddle of one of God's servants. What is this peevish purr? It's this: when members of your congregation complain, it's not fair. It's not fair, Pastor, that we are recognizing Carol for 20 years of service as a Sunday school teacher when I've been organist for over 25. It's not fair, Pastor, that you and the staff are spending as much time and energy visiting Denny in the hospital, who hasn't darkened the door of the church in decades, as you spend caring for my mother in the nursing home. It's not fair, Pastor, that members of our church with kids in our school contribute nothing in the offering plate. You know they're here just to get the break in tuition. Once their kids are out of eighth grade, they're going to be gone. It's not fair. Perhaps those same thoughts or similar words were kind of swirling around in Gehazi's heart that day in 2 Kings 5. Because here came this wealthy, powerful man from an enemy nation. He's healed of a dreaded disease. He comes bearing gifts. And Elisha sends him away healed and with all the money he had come. It's not fair. But perhaps Gehazi was learning a lesson that we all need to learn. A lesson about God's grace. God's grace that it cannot be earned, it cannot be merited, it cannot be bought, and it should not be exploited. Now, at first glance, we might want to be tempted to take Gehazi off the hook, because let's do a little bit proportional thinking here. Remember what Naaman came with and what Gehazi was simply asking in his little scheme, maybe a early Ponzi scheme. Naaman had come with 10 talents of silver. He had come with 6,000 shekels of gold and with 10 sets of clothing. And what did Gehazi ask? Just for one talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing. He left the gold alone. But Gehazi had to learn that grace, according to human estimation is not fair. Now, you and I, as Lutheran Christians, we can very easily wrap our heart and brain around the fact that God's grace cannot be earned, cannot be bought, cannot be merited. But perhaps sometimes we have a little bit of trouble with that exploitation, taking advantage of. Very recently, I'll share with you how I struggled with that last one. Some new members in our congregation absolutely love suburban Bethlehem. They love the ministry of our place. They love our school. And the husband works as the only investigator in the misdemeanor section of the county prosecutor's office. And sure enough, about 6-8 weeks ago, a Fort Wayne police officer nabbed me going a little bit too fast down a road. It's really a speed trap, but that's another story. And I held that speeding ticket in my hand, and I wondered, Eugene can take care of this. Eugene loves this church. He loves this ministry. Maybe Eugene even loves me as his pastor. But God's grace is not something that can be bought or merited or earned or exploited. Sometimes sitting in an educational institution, it's hard to think about how God's grace works. Because since this is an educational institution, there are such things as grades that need to be given out. Grades are, dare we say, earned. Grades are put together because of how you respond to a test, what words and thoughts you craft together in a paper or in a sermon. But grace? Grace is totally foreign. But I think there are at least two different ways that grace is experienced in an educational setting, particularly a seminary. The first is perhaps the most obvious one. God's Word, the grace of God, the Word of God, the sacraments are administered, the Word of God is proclaimed in this place, God's grace is all over this place. It's also all over this place with an old saying, at least when I was at the seminary, the old joke about 1 year after graduation, what do you call a seminary student who graduated with a 2.75 GPA? You call him pastor. And what do you call a SEM student who graduated with a 3.95 GPA 1 year later? You call him pastor. Now, I don't say that to take any wind out of any academic excellence that should be happening, but as an example of grace. There's something here in Gehazi's thoughts that when you string together some other places where the same verb is used in the Old Testament, a window of God's grace is opened up. Gehazi had said that he wanted to go and get just a fraction of what Naaman had brought because he thought Elisha had let Naaman off too easy. The ESV had said that that Elisha had spared his servant. The NIV says too easy. Funny thing about that Hebrew verb, it shows up in Genesis chapter 22, a powerful chapter, Abraham and Isaac. Abraham about to slay his son according to God's command, and the angel of the Lord is stopping Abraham, saying, "Now I know that you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And there in that moment on that mountain, God gives Abraham a preview of Calvary, of how the Father, the Heavenly Father, would not withhold his son, his only son. because of grace. Because God's love cannot be bought, cannot be merited, and should not be exploited. In this educational setting, students soon to be brothers in the ministry, listen to your professors, not just because of the knowledge they are imparting to you, but listen for the stories of grace. For they too have experienced God's grace. And brothers in the ministry, listen to the stories your students tell of God's grace at work in their lives. For it is by God's grace that they are here and will be future servants in our Lord's kingdom. And so this one little passage tucked away in the corner of an Old Testament passage can give us a window into the truth. The truth of God's unfathomable, undeserved love. God, keep each of us living as people of grace. Because according to human standards, God is not fair. He has given us far more than we deserve. And praise Him. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen.